This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Well, good morning, America. Once again, it is time for the Gun Owners News Hour. I'm your host, Bill Frady. Let's get into this, shall we? To carry on with the idea that some of you go out there and gun, there's other than two-legged predators out there. And recently I had Dean Weingarten here, and we were talking about bears. And it's getting to the point now where some governmental authorities are strongly pushing the use of bear spray over any other method to protect against a bear attack, which is sort of silly. From the Montana Hunter Education Course, in sudden encounters, bear spray has proven to work. Bears sprayed with bear spray often stop attacking and as such are less likely to inflict serious injury. Use a firearm only as a last resort and only if bear spray is unavailable. Always use your bear spray to help a hunting partner who is being attacked. Misdirected bear spray is survivable. Bullets are not. Bears wounded with an arrow, knife, or firearm may intensify the attack, and killing a bear charging at full speed is difficult at best. If you shoot a bear in self-defense, leave the scene as soon as it is safe and report the incident to Fish, Wildlife, and Parks immediately. So the implication would be, or it seems like it is, if you're armed with a firearm, put it down and use bear spray instead. And this is problematic advice at best. The advice ignores the possibility that bear spray will intensify an attack. It ignores the possibility a person attacked will only have 2 to 3 seconds to react. And it ignores the fact that bear spray has not been shown to be more effective than firearms in stopping bear attacks. Studies on bear spray were never done against aggressive bears. In an interview with Tom Smith, one of the principal authors of the most cited bear spray and firearm study, he clarifies the issue. He says the methods are not comparable. He says bear spray has not been shown to be effective against aggressive bears. From OutsideOnline.com, I asked Tom Smith if it was valid to conclude that the studied effectiveness of bear spray in brown bear charges is just 33%. He said that's what you would conclude from the data. But then he went on to point out the sample size is very small. Importantly, protracted mauling did not occur. And whether that's due to the spray or simply due to the vagaries of bear attacks is an open question. Now, 33% is far from that 98% efficacy rate so widely cited. And it's an especially problematic number if we accept that firearms can be demonstrated to have a success rate of between a 76% in a worst-case scenario as presented in efficacy of firearms and 96% as in the case of Alaska's DLP data or that compiled by firearms writer Dean Weingarten. So then we come to the government of Svalbard, Norway, which has strict requirements for protection against bears. People are not allowed to leave the town without adequate protection because of the large number of polar bears in the vicinity and the constant potential for attack. And the governor of Svalbard does not recommend bear spray. The governor of Svalbard prohibits the use of bear spray as a protection against polar bears. The governor requires people to have appropriate firearms in their groups. From Svalbard, Norway, regulations on firearms and other devices to protect against polar bears. 3.2. Bear repellent spray / pepper balls. The use, trade, and import of bear repellent spray and pepper balls for protection against polar bears in Svalbard is prohibited. The governor of Svalbard is currently looking into the regulation of bear repellent spray and pepper balls for protection against polar bears. The governor of Svalbard requires firearms of adequate power to protect against polar bears. And here are the requirements. Number two, types of firearms. 2-1, rifles. The acquisition, use, trade, and import of rifles for use as protection against polar bears is permitted in Svalbard pursuant to the Firearms Act and firearms regulations. Rifles used for protection against polar bears shall have a minimum caliber of .308 or .30-06. Rifle bullets shall be expanding with a minimum bullet weight of 11.5 grams. The required impact energy shall be 2,700, I believe, joules, measured at a distance of 100 meters. for reasons of precision, range, functionality in cold conditions, and stopping power. The governor's Svalbard recommends the use of rifles as the primary means of protection against polar bears rather than the other types of firearms. You can rent a rifle in Svalbard, and they even have a section for that. Please refer to section 4.2.2. Shotguns. Acquisition, use, and trade, and import of shotguns for use as protection against polar bears is permitted in Svalbard. And they use for protection against polar bears shall have a minimum caliber of 12 gauge and should have a magazine permitting a minimum of 4 shots, automatic or pump action shotgun. The use of slugs is recommended for protection against polar bears. However, the governor of Svalbard warns that most magazine-fed shotguns tend to have problems with icing and condensation and require more preventative maintenance work if they are to function in difficult conditions. And because of this, combined with the fact that shotguns have less precise sights and a limited range, he goes back and says, see Rule 1, and he recommends the use of rifles as the primary means of protection against polar bears. He advises against the use of double-barreled shotguns for protection against polar bears because of the number of available shots. But once again, you can rent one out. Then there's handguns. Handguns for competition and practice can legally be used in the field for protection against polar bears, provided the governor of Svalbard has granted a special permit for this. So this combination of usage purposes shall be stated explicitly on the firearm permit and may only be granted upon application to the governor of Svalbard. I find it interesting that we're hearing it. This is out of Norway, and they're out there saying, we want you to carry a big gun, basically. In the case, for whatever handgun the applicant may be seeking a permit for, it has to have a minimum caliber of 44 Magnum. Ammunition to be used for protection against polar bears shall have a minimum weight of 15.5 grams and a minimum muzzle energy of 1,200. I guess that means joules, I don't know. In English measurement, that's 885 foot-pounds with a minimum bullet weight of 239 grains. Full power 44 Magnum loads, 480 Ruger, 454 Casull, 500 Smith & Wesson, and 460 Smith & Wesson would qualify. Some 41 Magnum loads would qualify. And those who would carry a pistol for protection in Svalbard need to show they participated in organized pistol training 4 times in the last year before they can be approved. They also reserve the power to grant handgun permits for bear protection to trappers who are Svalbard residents and in special cases. It is not permitted to rent handguns for protection against polar bears. Then there's another guy in Svalbard who's talking about bear spray. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because here in the United States, everybody's saying, use pepper spray. But in Svalbard, where they have polar bears, they found out that pepper spray doesn't really work nearly as good. But then here we have from Jan Mayen, Third Branch Travel Guide by Andres Umbrit. Be properly armed. And then there's the hiker with the pepper spray. Ask the bear to attack against wind direction, please, or serve yourself nicely peppered with the wind blowing in the same direction from which the bear attacks. I am grateful for all of these alternatives as good entertainment stories, and some of these ideas may even be useful in addition to a firearm. But there is no substitute for a big bore firearm. Same source says that in the previous 50 years, no properly armed person was injured or killed by a polar bear. They specifically exclude the case where a group armed with a .22 pistol and a flare gun were attacked. I wouldn't take a flare gun to any self-defense situation unless that was the only thing they had. One person was killed, another seriously wounded. They say statistics support this. No properly armed person has been injured in the last 50 years in Spitsbergen. There have been casualties, but all victims were unarmed or inadequately armed. And then they go on to list some attacks. In 1998, an academic study of bear attacks was done there. They found from 71 to 95, 77 bears had been killed in serious confrontations with people. 3 bears escaped. 10 people were injured. Of those, 4 died from their injuries. None of those who were injured or killed had an appropriate firearm. This is sort of I just kind of dig this attitude, because it's very clear, being armed with an appropriate firearm and knowledge of how to use it is the best way to defend yourself against an apex predator. And for these people to go out there and say, well, we're going to go record the sounds of Gaia and fauna, and we're just taking recording equipment, I wish you luck. I really do, because I heard about a group of people from a film studio that just had that happen. That's sad. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
agree, these are troubled times, right? So do you know who's on your wireless network? Whether it's a big company selling your data or a foreign hacker, if you're not protected, everybody sees your information. That's why you need Flash Routers, a custom Wi-Fi router created for privacy. Flash Routers uses a virtual private network or VPN to protect your online activity from hackers, trackers, and large corporations. And not just one, but all your devices with one out-of-the-box setup. Plus, Flash Routers also enhances your wireless network performance and unlocks powerful router management tools to let you take total control of your network. Call or click Flash Routers today at 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. That's 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. Protect your wireless home network today with Flash Routers.
The Roman legions, the samurai, and the knights of the round table, they understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and spalling coating to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor is the leading high-value solution for body armor. AR-500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight.
Franklin Armory makes top-quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made-in-America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word LOCK AND LOAD at franklinarmory.com.
Hi, this is George Norrie. I'll be in the Chicago area October 25th and 26th for the Health Freedom Expo. It's going to be an incredible weekend of lectures, workshops, and exhibits with leading experts and the newest products in natural and alternative medicine. Join speakers Jeffrey Smith, Lisa Oz, Patch Adams, Ocean Robbins, and Doc Wallach, and get your tickets today at TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com. You have a right to a naturally vibrant and healthy life. That's TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com or call 1-888-658-3976.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Back, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour. One thing that gets neglected, and I think I'm guilty of this just as much as anybody else could possibly be guilty of this, is practicing to shoot one-handed. Shooting one-handed is a neglected art, primarily because when we're on the range, we all want to shoot the best we can. However, there's a bit of a problem with it. There's a couple of things we don't do as defensive shooters. I am, like I said, I'm just as guilty as you are. The first thing we don't do is we don't practice long-range shooting. We don't practice 25-yard shooting. Steve Fisher has convinced me that is something you do have to do simply because of where you may be. Lots of people shop in grocery stores, and the average length of a grocery aisle with end caps and end is 27 yards. So you would be engaging somebody possibly at a distance of a minimum of 25 yards if that's what presented itself. And if you're on one end and they're on the other end, you have no choice but to engage wherever you're standing simply because there is no cover there. Simple fact. That's the long-range extreme. Now, the other extreme is right up on each other, which I've done that in classes where you're laying on the target and you're bringing the weapon up and you're shooting. But the one thing that a lot of people neglect is, what are you doing with that other hand that's not gripping the gun? Now, that's important. That's important. So, the sentiment that you'll find espoused often when it comes to concealed carry / self-defense, or whatever you want to call it, is train how you fight, or something to that effect. In other words, you want to train with your typical carry gear, in your normal clothes, and with your normal carry gun. So that means that if you're actually going to train how you're going to fight, like, for example, with Steve Fisher, Steve does not get into some crazy Shotokan karate stance to do his shooting. He stands with his feet about shoulder width apart because he says this is the way he stands normally. And if he's in a self-defense encounter, that's the way he'll be drawing his gun and pulling the trigger the first time. So to that end, that's a way to go. The other thing to think about is you're not going to be using a drop leg rig. You're not going to be using a lower than your belt rig. You're not going to be using a, you're not going to have your shirt tucked in and everything out exactly where you want need for it to be. Sadly, you're going to be probably carrying inside the waistband. You're probably going to have a cover garment in the way. The other thing that most people don't train for, simply because it's very difficult to do with targets, and it's very difficult to actually send rounds down range, simply because the only way to really do it realistically is to do it against a human opponent, is creating space. Now, most people are not going to point their finger at you and talk to you like a really bad overdub from a Chinese movie. You there, give me all your valuables. And their mouth keeps on moving. That's not what's going to happen. Most of the time, they're going to try to grab you as they pass you or come and grab you from behind. Now, if that happens, you're going to have to do two things. One, you're going to have to create space because you're going to try to bring your weapon up. First of all, you got to get drawn, and then you got to bring your weapon in a position to shoot. You will not be able to use both hands, because you're very probably instinctively going to be using the other hand to try to keep this person off of you. And keeping them off of you is it's a simple chore. I know a guy named Jason Carl. He is a second-generation Jeet Kune Do instructor. His instructor lived with Bruce Lee when Bruce Lee was fresh off the boat from Hong Kong back in the 60s. And he recommends that everybody learn at least one good punch and one good kick. Which is not bad advice, because it's not like saying, all right, go out there and enroll in a class and sign a contract for 5 years until you master the martial art. Learning one good punch can, you know, punching somebody in the face is going to disorient them at least for 2 or 3 seconds. And in the time it would take to draw a pistol, 2 or 3 seconds is a very long time. But then comes time to shoot. Now, if you have not knocked them off their feet with that one punch, they're going to be coming. They're going to be coming. Now, there's a lot to be said about working on that as far as developing. Punching does require a little bit of groundwork, a little bit of footwork, and that may be something you'd like to look into. But then again, does it actually happen in the real world where you get to shift your feet and do all this other stuff and start torquing your hip into the punch? Not as reliably as you might think, because under stress, all that muscle memory and fine motor control, that falls apart rapidly. Not only that, but it may be such that you can't use the same perfect technique that you learned and used under range conditions. So, for example, like the Weaver stance, which I've used the Weaver stance a lot. It was popularized by Gunsight. and other instructors, and it found adoption because of its success in competitive pistol events in the early days of IPSC and IDPA and so on. And as a result, it was taught as a self-defense technique to civilians and law enforcement. And despite the wide dispersion by instructors and training bodies, it was observed that the Weaver tended to fall apart under stress. coming out of the 1989 issue of the now-defunct Law and Order magazine by Harold Westmoreland, they looked at a force-on-force training class for cadets and the shooting stance they used. And the training and sessions involved 39 incidents of spontaneous, meaning they didn't know it was coming, force-on-force situations at under 10 feet and 27 events of force-on-force situations at more than 10 feet. Under 10 feet, 10 recruits never drew their weapon, and only one of the remaining 29 assumed a Weaver stance. The remaining 28, despite being trained in the modern technique, assumed an isosceles stance. Of those, 18 used only one hand. At more than 25 feet, 25 cadets assumed an isosceles stance and two a Weaver. Now, sure, these guys were cadets, but evidence was accumulating by that point. Massa Yub had been putting together a whole bunch of stuff. That seasoned officers who were trained in the Weaver stance instinctively resort to isosceles under stress. And since most self-defense shootings occur just outside of arm's reach, is every possibility you'll only have one hand to use. So therefore, one-handed shooting is something that you do need to practice, without a doubt. And the point here is that the perfect classically correct technique you learn and use on the range is not going to be what you use on the street in a critical condition. And that could be due to stress, or it could be because you physically can't do it under given circumstances. Now, Masad Ayub, in an episode of the Pro Arms podcast, interviewed Lieutenant Robert Stash, a 37-year veteran of the CBD, Chicago Police Department, survivor of 14 gunfights. And he said he was only able to assume a two-handed grip only twice. Interestingly enough, he used a compound point shooting method to lethal effect. He found he didn't have time to use his sights in a fight either. And take all of this that I'm saying now with a grain of salt. While some trends can be identified in what little information is out there on defensive gun uses, nothing is 100% certain. And when you start looking at all of these things in hindsight, it becomes a cavalcade of if-thens. The bottom line is that you can't anticipate the conditions under which a fight's going to happen. And that's why you should be prepared and you should train for two-handed shooting as well as one-handed shooting. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Who needs a Boyd's Hardwood gun stock? Everyone. Crack stock, back in action. Not the best fit? Now it's made for you. Tired look? Now the coolest gun in camp. Want tighter groups? Now you're more accurate than ever. A new Boyd's Hardwood gun stock will make your firearm fit, function, and look better than ever. Boyd's, rock your stock, rock your gun.
The Roman legions, the samurai, and the knights of the round table. They understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and spalling coating to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor is the leading high-value solution for body armor. AR-500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
More Americans approve of the impeachment investigation into President Donald Trump than disapprove of it, though only about a third say the inquiry should be the top priority for Congress, according to a new poll from the Associated Press. If measured, support serves as a warning sign for Trump's White House and re-election campaign that have insisted pursuing impeachment would end up being a vulnerability for the Democrats heading into 2020. But the findings also present red flags for Democrats as well. Most people say House members are motivated mainly by politics rather than their duty as they investigate the Republican president's dealing with Ukraine and whether he abused his office or compromised national security, when he tried to pressure the country to dig up dirt on a political rival. Overall, 47% said they support the impeachment inquiry, while 38% disapprove. This is USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, runs in my family on my mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
News Hour. Presidential hopeful Cory Booker, he was on The View this past Wednesday, and the conversation quickly turned to gun control, specifically the gun ban and compensated confiscation plan that is supported by both Spartacus Booker and much more vocally by Robert Francis Beta Male O'Rourke. Now, O'Rourke has been kind enough to offer up some vague and contradictory statements about how he would enforce the law. And at times he's declared that law enforcement would be coming to homes to take guns away. Which then, of course, and I guess Booker was watching this, because as soon as he said that, a lot of law enforcement came out there and said, "I'm not going to be your Gestapo Beta." So Booker refused to even to attempt to explain how he'd enforce his gun ban and mandatory turn-in. But he did say this. He said, "We can find the evidence-based way to accomplish this as a country. Other countries have done it. We did it with machine guns. Why are we playing into fearmongers that want to make you this vision that there's going to be people showing up to your house and taking your guns away?" He said, "We have more people die in America in my lifetime than in every single war combined, and we're having arguments that divide us. All Americans agree on gun licensing. 70%, 80% do agree on background checks, and we can do this. I'm not going to let us be divided by false arguments. These are things we can do, and if I'm president of the United States, I will get it done." So he said, which sounds a lot like the speech that Otter gave in Animal House during the the double secret probation hearing. Additionally, Spartacus is full of it. We have never banned machine guns in the United States and demanded people turn them over to law enforcement in exchange for some cash, which is what Booker is proposing. As to playing into people's fear, if Booker himself can't explain how his law would be enforced, then some people are going to assume the worst. You can buy a machine gun today. It will cost you. You have to find one that's for sale, okay? You can buy a fully automatic weapon. You have to buy one for sale. It had to have been built before some arbitrary date in 1986. It has probably been shot a lot. And you're buying basically something that is 33 years old minimum, and you can buy it. And then you have to get the proper paperwork, and then if you decide to carry it across state lines, you have to get paperwork,
And then, you know, you're constantly having paperwork. So but it is doable. They're not banned. They are heavily regulated. So, like I said, Spartacus is full of it. As far as people assuming the worst, why shouldn't they? When Booker himself won't say a bad word about O'Rourke declaring that police will go to people's homes and take their guns away. Booker, and this is laughable, Spartacus Booker is running as a candidate of criminal justice reform. But his gun control plan, and let me explain to you what I mean by criminal justice reform. See how I say that? What this means is that we want to have a way to make it more fair as to who's in jail. So if there's 50 black people in jail, we have to have 50 white people in jail. We have to have 50 Hispanics and 50 Asians. Criminal justice reform, when a leftist is talking about it, is always based upon being fair. And if we can't have the same amount of people going in, then we have to limit the amount of people going in. So if only 10 white guys commit a crime, then only 10 black guys should be in jail. And the reason they want criminal justice reform is the places where they are in charge, the Democrats, like Chicago and Baltimore and places like that. Well, they've taken the inner city and made it hell. And because it's hell and because nobody can get out there and find a regular job and nobody has a mom and dad that lives at home and nobody has a crack at education, young people are going to look for acceptance. They're going to look for love, and they're going to find it with a gang. Plain and simple. And then if you're a young black man, then at the very best you can hope for if you join a gang is that you get incarcerated, because 82% of the people that get killed are young black men. Black America is 12% of the population, but 82% of the people that get killed in the United States are black men, young black men, who are gang members. So this is why they want criminal justice reform, so they can look at the gang members and say, look, I'm trying to make this fair, even though I'm not going to do anything to make your life better. I'm not going to do anything to stretch your life out. His gun control plan, instead of, you know, when you're out there saying, well, we want to be better, we want to be kinder and gentler to criminals, this would take millions of Americans who are not criminals and turn them into criminals overnight. And he can't talk about how he'd enforce his proposed gun law because it means putting a lot of people in federal prison for possessing a firearm that yesterday was legal. And that goes for his proposed gun licensing plan as well, which would even be even more egregious abuse of the Second Amendment than his ban on commonly owned rifles. Requiring a federal license to exercise a right is a terrible idea, no matter what right we're talking about. But a federal gun license specifically would not only infringe on the right to keep and bear arms, but it would likely be mainly enforced in places like New York City or Newark, New Jersey. Deep blue urban areas that already have a lot of gun control laws on the books. And I also have a feeling that this would be unenforceable, except in the blue areas, because a lot of county sheriffs and chiefs in middle and rural America wouldn't spend much time and energy enforcing this, though they may be parties to the inevitable lawsuits that would challenge a licensing requirement if Booker were ever able to pass his proposal through Congress. And, of course, Cory Booker has about as much chance of becoming president as Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke does, or even as he has probably less of a chance of becoming president as I do. And, you know, the same chances I have of taking Whoopi Goldberg's spot on The View. So it's not happening, but it's not just about Cory Spartacus Booker or Beto O'Rourke. It's an unfortunate fact that the entire field of Democrats is an anti-gun as a crop of candidates as we've ever seen. And no matter who the nominee may be, if they're elected president, they're going to sign any and every gun control bill that gets to their desk. Elizabeth Warren has already said she'll nuke the filibuster if she's elected president, and other candidates have also indicated their support. So it would only take a simple majority in both chambers to pass legislation gutting the Second Amendment rights of Americans. And that's not fear-mongering, that's just a fact. The other part they ignore completely is they think that would be free. They think that would be absolutely free. They think that they could do that, and then we would just sit there and say, oh, well, you know, I used to own guns, but now I only own slingshots. And those are heavily, heavily regulated. So, I remember back in the time junior when I could own a gun. Of course, that time is gone now, and I no longer get to own a gun. I only get to, well, if the government gives me the chance to own a gun, I get to own a gun. So, that's what it would be. The new normal. We would exist in the new normal. I don't want to exist in the new normal, do you? And Spartacus, he's quite the guy. Spartacus is quite the guy. Quite the fella. Dating Rosario Dawson. I don't even know if that's like a claim to fame. But what I do know is that this idea that he's not putting forward, where he doesn't intend to tell you how he would enforce a law, is troubling, because that means that we would find out later. Now, Beta would have, all of these guys would have problems with this, because it's not that creating the law versus carrying out the law are two different things. This is why whenever the, you know, whenever the Supreme Court comes out with some of this stuff, I get quite a chuckle out of it, because while they can say this is the way it's going to be, it's quite something else altogether to make it be the way they say it's going to be. And they don't have, they do have a police department that's in charge of keeping them safe, but they don't have any projection of power. We're just all expected to go along with what they say. All the states are, and in most cases it's going to be the states. Most of the time the Supreme Court, in their the way they're supposed to operate, they're supposed to be protecting us from these idiots, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. So, having something that they could actually make happen is another story altogether. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
One more time. Here we go. And then the weekend starts in earnest. Goodness gracious sakes alive. This is Gun Owners News Hour, and I saw this, and I don't know how to feel about this, because I don't know if this is right or wrong. And this is not really a gun issue. But at the same time, when it comes to, it's one of these things where we look at this and we say, well, if the police can do this, what limits do they have on them? A federal appeals court in Colorado ruled Tuesday that a local police department does not have to compensate a homeowner whose house was destroyed by 19 hours of gunfire between officers and an armed shoplifting suspect who had chosen to barricade himself inside to evade arrest. Judges on the U.S. District Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit upheld a lower court's decision, ruling that the city of Greenwood Village near Denver did not owe homeowner Leo Letch any additional compensation, even though the suspect was a stranger to the homeowner, according to the Denver Post. His home, valued at $580,000, was marked for demolition in 2015 after a SWAT team used armored vehicles to breach the structure, deployed tear gas and explosives, and shot 40-millimeter rounds in an effort to drive the suspect out after he refused to surrender and shot at officers. The suspect broke into the house when no one was home and used it as a hideout. Mr. Leck told the Post, the bottom line is that destroying somebody's home and throwing them out in the street by a government agency for whatever circumstances is not acceptable in a civilized society. It destroyed our lives completely. I'm not sure that I disagree with him. I don't know exactly what the answer is here, however. Because right now some of you are thinking, what does my homeowner's insurance cover? Now, Mr. Leck was renting his house to his son, John, who lived there with his girlfriend and her son, but they were not at the home at the time of the incident. The city had initially paid him $5,000 in temporary living assistance. John Leck moved in with his parents, and his girlfriend's son had to change schools. Leck's attorney told the Post that his home insurance company paid him $345,000 for the damage, but that amount did not come close to covering additional costs related to personal property damage, demolishing and rebuilding the home, and taking out a new mortgage on the new house. I didn't know that homeowners insurance covered this at all. I mean, I rent, and I think I'm pretty smart looking at this, but my renter's insurance is very good. And for those of you that are veterans, if you're not using, and listen, I don't get paid for this, but if you're not using USAA, you need to go take a look, because they're really, really good. Most insurance companies will do just about anything to keep from paying you. I know. Now, attorney Rachel Maxim told the Post it's a miracle insurance covered any of it in the first place. Insurance is for fires and floods. There's no police blew up my house insurance. Yeah. She also said that a home next door that suffered about $70,000 in damage as collateral damage was not compensated by its insurance company. The court's decision said the police department of the city were not liable for damage caused to the property because officers were acting in their lawful role to arrest a criminal suspect. Greenwood Village said in a statement, the courts, both state and federal, have analyzed this matter, have consistently ruled in favor of the police actions taken to resolve this critical incident. The courts have recognized that while these types of events present difficult questions, the police should value life over property and may act pursuant to their police powers accordingly. I'm not sure that's not correct, but here's my problem with it. My problem is that why wouldn't the police department do like a GoFundMe for this guy? Why wouldn't they hold a, you know, a raffle or you know, a bake sale or do anything they can to help this guy get become whole again? He wasn't home. He was renting the house out. He owned the house legally, all this other stuff. They had to destroy it. I get it. I really don't get where why do criminals resist arrest? Because you can't outrun the radio. Now, I know in Chicago it's different. Chicago, they only charge somebody 10% of the time. Now, something else that is about to happen, and this is going to turn out to be the biggest political scandal that this country has ever seen. So bear with me, because this is all put together by a bunch of people that want to take your guns, okay? Because right now, the Justice Department has decided to listen to what the civil libertarians have been telling people all along, that the intelligence community posed a threat to democracy as we know it in the United States. Now, every so often we've seen some excess of the FBI or the CIA and tell us, you know, and tell us that the lights were going out on Democratic America. You know, the Washington Post, when they were talking about Trump, they said democracy dies in darkness. But, well, the darkness came down on Trump when he decided to run for president because the FBI and the CIA were in cahoots with Hillary Clinton and those popularizing the infamous dossier that she financed and threw a blanket of darkness over his campaign. And still he won. And last week we learned that we have what had been a Justice Department administrative review has become something much more serious. It has become a criminal inquiry. And that means the Justice Department believes there's sufficient evidence that a crime has been committed. That's important to take in. The prosecutor in charge, John Durham, will have the power to subpoena witness testimony and documents. He can convene a grand jury and file criminal charges. And my guess, he's already convened a grand jury. And Durham and Attorney General Barr have been looking into the origins of the Obama administration spying on Trump. How did it begin? Who started it? And they are shaken by the answers they found out so far. While most of the mainstream media searched desperately for a smoking gun carried by one of Trump's people or even the president himself, a lot of people have been looking elsewhere. And when you look at the politicized atmosphere within the FBI and the CIA, and even British intelligence, because Brennan, in his role, he was using British intelligence agents. some people were startled to hear them venting aloud about Brennan's practice of using British intelligence officials to spy on the Trump campaign, including American contractors hired by the British who were working from the 12th floor of a building in Crystal City, Virginia, and an NSA building in San Antonio, Texas. Brennan, they fumed, was using British intelligence assets so that he could deny, if asked, that he had spied on the Trump campaign. Now, I guess Mr. Brennan had watched too many Jason Bourne movies. He was looking for that deniable plausibility. Now, Trump, if you remember, he claimed that the Obama administration had bugged Trump Tower. And the chattering class just thought this was just the greatest stuff. They just, you know, they chattered about it for months. But we now know that Trump was right. Comey was sitting on his desk warrants through the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Acts on Carter Page, Paul Manafort, and Michael Flynn that gave him the power to reach into the Trump Tower and intercept their communications. As communications has become more and more radio-based and more digital-based, it's easier to get them. So the three stooges that all caught Trump derangement syndrome at the same time, Brennan, Clapper, and Comey, they convinced themselves that Trump, who's a, you know, he's just an American businessman known for his patriotism, was a plant by the Russians. Psychologists would call this a case of projection. But it was Brennan, after all, who famously voted for Gus Hall, the Soviet plant who ran for president in the 1970s. And the most perverse irony in all of this is that the American officials who bleated the loudest about malicious actors interfering in the election presided over a government that actually did. Barack Obama tried to change the outcome of an Israeli election. They also spied upon this campaign, the Trump campaign, and sought to sabotage it through entrapment schemes and criminal leaks. And Brennan turned to foreigners for dirt. They failed, but not for lack of trying. Just ask Harry Reid, who noted Brennan's ulterior motive for briefing him on Crossfire Hurricane before Election Day. In the coming days, we're going to learn much more about this audacious mischief. First, there's going to be a report from Inspector General Michael Horowitz detailing FISA abuses, and then through Durham's findings, which could result in a raft of indictments. And if you're on the left, if you think they had the smoking gun, then lefties, I recommend that you brace for impact, because it is going to be a bumpy year for you people indeed. And I'm going to enjoy each and every moment of it for you. This is the Karma Fairy flying in. Flying in to pay you a visit. The people that want to disarm you tried to set aside an election you voted in. This is why this is important to you as an American gun owner. We're the ones that can change everything. We're a big enough demographic. I will talk to you next week. Stay aware, stay salty. This has been Gun Owners News Hour. Today, weapons and optics are built tough, but they have to remain dialed in. Enter Air Armor Tech. Created to protect the $500,000 helmet of the F-35 Lightning II aircraft, Air Armor Tech can likewise protect your weapons during transport. Under pressure, air is uncompromising. Rigid or collapsible using the power of inflation or deflation. High tech and elemental. To learn more, go to airarmortech.com. Air Armor Tech. Protective. Lightweight. These are military-grade inflatable cases.
The Roman legions, the samurai, and the knights of the round table. They understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and spalling coating to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor's leading high-value solution for body armor. AR500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight.
Dan Perkins here for your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. The VA recently reported that 70% of all veteran suicides are by vets who have never been to the VA. There's a saying, when a person's name is written down where people can see it, that person will never be forgotten. Many of our veterans, past and present, feel that nobody cares about them. We will be holding the first Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Memorial Tournament. All the proceeds will go to purchase MP3 players for veterans. I know that veterans and their families all over the country will hear this announcement and not be able to play at the golf outing, but want to help. So here's your veterans tip of the day. If you have a family member or a friend that is a veteran, for $100 you can honor them and make sure they will never be forgotten. Go to songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us and sponsor a tea or a green in their name. Keep their memory alive. This has been your Veterans Tip of the Day.